The scripture passage this morning is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. That's on page 1676 in the Pew Bible, if you want to follow along. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all so much for allowing me to be here. It is wonderful to be back and to see all your beautiful faces again. And I'm very grateful to Pastor Andrew for asking me to be here this week and next week. I'm very appreciative of this opportunity, so thank you very much. Okay. So, Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through me. I thank you, Lord, for opening each person's heart, as already been prayed. I thank you, Father, for having your way with each person here, Lord, stirring up all of our hearts, giving us new revelations of your love, and for helping us to know how to better abide in you, Lord, so that we can be stronger and better, and we can show the world what you look like in your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a couple of visions. There's over 39 scriptures in the Bible that talk about how God speaks to us in visions, and that's one of the ways he speaks to me. So I'm going to be mentioning a couple of visions, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes while I'm describing them so that you can see some, because oftentimes when you hear a vision described, sometimes the Lord will show you personally some more details in the vision or something personal for you. So the first vision I want to describe is something that he showed me recently, and he gave me a word for what I believe was for his whole body regarding abiding in him and why it's so important. So if you want to close your eyes and try to picture what I'm saying. So I saw the Father up on his throne in heaven, And he often uses things that we use every day. My daughter has been doing a lot with slime and creating slime. And I saw the father, and he had a link to each one of his sons and daughters' hearts. So each Christian's heart, he had a link. And it looked like a line of slime, but it was like a substance that he can use to pull each one of us closer. So he pulls each one of us closer with our hearts, closer into him, so that we can be more inside him. And I saw that as each one of us was getting closer and closer to him, we were being even more consumed and more protected. And in that process, the things of ourself that are not of him were falling away and dying. That was our flesh that was just falling away and melting away. As we became closer in him, I saw him through these lines, through our hearts, I saw more of his specific identity, his gifts that he gives us, and his pieces of his personality shining through each one of us. So the Bible tells us that we're created in his image, and he was just showing me how very detailed this was. So if you could picture yourself, him beaming through your heart and all the detailed ways that make you who you are, in your gifts, in your personality traits. And I believe he was saying, the more that you are consumed by me, the more that you come into me, the more people will see me in you. And the more the things about you that you don't like, that the world has done, and that you have, and choices you have made not with him, all that will fall away. And the more that you become like him, the more you go into him and show more of his identity, the more you're also going to call more life into you, more abundance, prosperity, health, vibrance, everything that he is. The more you show him, the more you call him into you and things of him in this world. So, and we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for drawing us even closer. In Jesus' name, you can open your eyes. So in that, he showed me that in the Father alone is how we can learn who we really are in our identity. The Word teaches us who we are as his children, as a whole, as a group, and as his bride and as his children. That's what the Bible teaches us, who we are. And it's, of course, important and essential to be reading that, learning that, and being filled with that every day. But it's when we abide in him and spend our personal time with him, that's when we learn more about the specifics of who we are, the gifts that he's given us. There's numerous giftings that the Bible talks about, and we each flow in different amounts of those giftings. And the Bible says we can eagerly desire all the gifts, which means it's possible for us to have all the gifts, but we flow in them in different ways and different amounts. He also, as he created us in the womb, he gave us our own specific personality traits as well. So with the mixture of the personality traits and the different amounts of the giftings, that's what makes each one of us unique. And it's those specifics that we find when we abide in him. The more that we abide in him, the more we learn who we are, and the more we also learn who he is. So, and as I mentioned in the vision, he is connected to each one of us in a very personal way. That's why he calls us for a personal relationship with him, so that we can learn more about him and also more about us and who we are and who we're supposed to be and who we're called to be. So Genesis 1:26 talks about, 1:26, 5:1 and 9:6, they all talk about how we're created in his image, and we're created to have dominion and subdue the earth. Okay, so that's a serious thing. That's one of the first things mentioned when he creates man. He said, let us create man in our image, and we are to have dominion and subdue the earth. Okay, so again, the more we abide in him, the more we learn about the actual authority that we have. So unfortunately, too many times as people, we listen to the lies of the world, the lies of the enemy, the things that we see around us, and we don't fully always understand that we actually have dominion over everything. We have dominion over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over attacks of the enemy. We have dominion over all of that. An example I wanted to give of this, these are two pictures of last summer. Bees just liked me a lot last summer, and I got to use them as teachable moments for my kids, because they would just come around me, that my kids would see that I'm not afraid of them. Part of that is because of spending time with the Lord, I know my authority over them. I don't I've been stung. I know the vast amount of pain that comes with a bee sting. But this is two different circumstances, the picture, and two different kinds of bees. The first is a worker bee. They're basically responsible for our yummy honey. But they are very moody, and they don't like to be messed with at all, and they will sting anything around them. And I have a friend who gets honey and has bees and everything, and he's always amazed that I just walk around them. But I didn't get that because I'm Karen. I got that because I spend time with my father, and he tells me the authority that I have over them. So, and the other is a bumblebee who is it's friendlier, but it's not afraid to sting anyone because it's generally just scared of people all the time. So, but they would come around me, and the kids would get scared, but then they started to come in because I would explain to them, we have authority and dominion over all the things of this world. This summer, the Lord has been working with me in spiders. So just randomly, spiders come around me a lot. So don't worry, they're not going to like come around me and get around you. Don't be afraid to be around me. I'm not just carrying them around with me. I don't know why. He's just been doing this theme with me, but he's been showing me the more authority that I have. And I actually recently, as I was writing this, I thought of something that happened here several years ago, and there was a bat in the church, and nobody could get it out. Do you remember this? I don't know, but I was like, you know what? The Lord says I have dominion over this. I'm just going to say you need to get out in Jesus' name. It flew around a little bit. I went, I opened that door, and it flew right out. Like, how could that happen? That was not me. But it's important that we know our identity and we know how much authority we have over this world. Because like I said, the enemy will try to lie to you. He'll try to tell you don't have authority. He'll try to tell you that, well, because you sin, you don't have authority. Or because of that guilt and that thing you did, you don't have authority. Those are all lies. So I want to encourage you that God said we have dominion over all of the earth. We can subdue anything we want. So anything in your life that is causing you problems, this doesn't count for people, but anything that is causing you any problems, like if you're struggling with finances, if you're struggling with health, if you're struggling with relationships, you can command the enemy to just stay away from all of it in Jesus' name, and you can just use your authority and speak in your authority, and the enemy has to listen to you because it's what God said. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter even if you're trapped in a bondage of sin that you're still doing. It doesn't matter. You still have authority. You still have that authority because he gave it to you. It does matter. Being trapped in a sin, of course, does matter because it's hurting you, because you're not really realizing who you really are. So, and again, abiding in him and staying close to him and just repenting of anything you need to repent of and just being consumed by him, that's the way that you'll continue to learn more about how much he loves you and who you truly are. And the more that we live in him, the more that you're protected and you're blessed. So as also I mentioned from the vision, I saw that we were going like inside of him and he was protecting us. And he showed me that scripture about how we are protected in the shelter of his wings. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So the closer we get to him, see, evil can't come near him. It just can't. He's too holy. He's too righteous. So the closer we are to him, the more we're protected. We're protected in two ways, in love and in joy. In the scripture, as Lori read, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine so you can bear fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. He talks a lot about how we will bear much fruit. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory. So I want to mention that relating to the authority. Also, it says right here that as we remain in him and stay close to him, then we know who we are and we can ask for anything we want. And I just wanted to point that out really quick that it says you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So it doesn't say you can ask for some things that you'd like, or maybe sometimes occasionally ask for something you'd like and you can get it. It says you can ask for anything you want and you will get it. It doesn't say you will sometimes get it. It doesn't say occasionally when he feels like giving it to you, you will get it. It says, remain in him, abide in him on a regular basis, and you will ask for anything you wish, and you will get it. And the only way I can prove that to you, because I can give you lots of testimonies in my life of how that's changed the more I abide in him, and I'll give you one later, but the more I abide in him, the more things that I want, I get. It's just how it is, and it says it right in his word. So it's not me telling you, although I'm sure you all have your own testimonies of how you've gone to him in prayer and you've abided in him and you get what you're asking for in prayer. But these are his promises for you. So expect that. So, and then in verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So, the more we abide in him, the more our joy is complete. So when the enemy tries to attack us, we can have joy. A lot of the ways he attacks us is sadness, depression, anger, feeling hopeless, and joy just cancels out and consumes all those things. So the closer we are to him, the more we will be filled with joy. Pain, sorrow, grief, all of that consumed in joy. So, and it says that he says that our joy will overflow. So not only in those dark times that are dark for us, but we abide in him, more joy flows through us and also into other people and helps blesses other people. So one of the testimonies I wanted to give here is my mom went to heaven 4 years ago, and he showed me very, very early on when she was in the hospital, and he had shown me how the events were going to happen, and as I prayed and continued to pray, and he showed me when she went, she actually passed on my birthday, which a lot of people feel a lot of things about, but the Lord showed me that it's a celebration because I know where she went. I know she went into heaven, and he showed me that it's very important. He doesn't do things. I don't believe in coincidences. I think that he has a purpose and a reason in everything. And for me personally, he was teaching me the difference between my choices. I could choose to grieve, to mourn, for extensive periods of time. Again, I'm not saying grieving or mourning is wrong in any way, because it's not. But I could have chosen, me personally, I could have chosen to just be sad all the time. And just, I could have said, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? I've said numerous times throughout my life, I don't know how I would live if my mom ever died. And so I had that, and the enemy reminding me of those things. And I could have chosen that, and I could have dove into that. I could have just gone that way. But the Lord showed me, he said, you can choose that, or you can choose me. And you can choose to come closer to me, be consumed by me, and feel my joy. And so that's what I did. I started worship dancing on a regular basis, just on my own, just worship dancing, worshiping him. Every day I would just worship him. And when those times came up that I did feel sad and that I did miss her, I would give them to him immediately. Like, I was tempted to just cry and feel sorry for myself and just indulge in it. And again, there's a time for that. And, you know, everybody can mourn in their own way, but he was showing me this. For me, there was a time that I just could have felt sorry for myself and just said, I can't do anything, I'm not doing anything. Or I could have given it to him, and that's what I chose. I just kept giving it to him. Every time I felt sad, every time I was reminded of something. And then when I would feel guilty about something I didn't do or something I did do that was wrong, things, when I felt guilty for something, it was very quick to give that to God, because I know the enemy tries to get us all in that way, especially when it comes to someone close to us dying. He tries to make us feel guilty about things we could have done and things we should have done. And I just want to encourage you that everything you could and should have done, you did, because you love that person. And you did everything you could do to love them, because that's who you are. You're loving. You know the Father. You love people, and that's what you did. So So every time any kind of guilt or regret would come on, I would immediately take it to God. And I would repent of some things and just immediately give it to God. And I kept getting closer and closer to him. And it literally changed my entire life, my entire perspective, my entire life of everything. And I got closer to him. I started learning more about how much he loves me and what that true comfort and joy really is. And I was having just crazy joy. Just my mom passed, and people are like, I'm really sorry about your mom. And I'm like, yeah, I am too. And I was sorry, and I missed her. But I was so happy because I know where she is. I know she's in heaven. And I'm very blessed in the sense that I do get visions, and he has given me visions of her in heaven, and that's obviously helped. But we all know where when people give their lives to Jesus, we all know Jesus died for our sins, was raised again from the dead. And for everyone who accepts and receives him as Lord, they get into heaven. They get to go to heaven for eternity. And the Bible tells us that Jesus conquered death. There is no death. It's transition. It's just going to a different place. So I kept being completely filled with joy, and it was spreading to people. And there was friends who made Facebook posts about how much joy I had given them during that time and things like that, which obviously, again, was not me, but it was the Lord. So when we choose to abide in him, and when we're losing ourselves in him, we are filled with his blessings, his love, and his joy, and that also protects us. So, and the Bible tells us that that as we lose ourselves in him, as we lose our life for his sake, Jesus says, then that's when we gain it. So that goes for the details too. So if there's something you're really praying about and you really want, give that completely to him. You pray for it, you do everything he tells you that you need to do, but then you give it to him. And so, like, especially with problems and hurts and pain, trying to deal with it on your own isn't going to work. So there's something with me since I was a little girl. See, I have a personality. I have what some have called a strong personality. So I have not always been the most pleasant person to be around. You can talk if you want to. John could share lots of stories. But in my heart, since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be kind and loving no matter how anybody treats me. That was a desire of my heart that obviously he put in there. And so I spent a good portion of my life, like I had a lot of hurts. I had a really rough childhood, so I had a lot of hurts. I tried to deal with it on my own. I learned all about psychology. I have degrees in psychology, education, sociology, pre-med, anything about the humans, the existence of humans I wanted to study so that I could master this whole thing of being kind and loving no matter how anybody treated me. So when I kept doing this my whole life, and I tried everything I could. I memorized all these scriptures, which definitely helped. But I was doing it like really on my own. I would pray and memorize scriptures when I started knowing the Lord, but I was basically doing it on my own. And then when I started losing that in God, losing myself in God, and when I started spending more time just focused on him and just being consumed by him, his word, and spending time in him, he started changing my heart. He started healing places that needed to be healed and showing me things that I needed to repent of. And he started changing me. So now I actually work in a job, and I work in the care department, and there's a lot of hurting people. And I also work with people who need money. And sometimes people get angry when we're not able to help them in the way that they would like. And sometimes people just are hurting and get angry in general. And what I see now more and more is that I can be kind and loving to them regardless, because I know my father a lot better now. I know his heart, and I can see them through his eyes of love. And we can see each other in all of those ways. So anyone who, you know, if you have struggles in relationships, whether it's a spouse, a family member, or a friend, you can pray, you can abide in him. The more you abide in him, and the more you can see through his eyes and see these people as he sees them. People are hurting. People have sadness. People have anger. That's all just we need to love. And that's what he calls us to do, is to love. And as we completely lose ourselves in him and everything that was important to us, and just lose that in him, the more we get blessed with things that we want. So the more that I learned how to abide in him, the more now I can really be kind and loving to people, no matter how they treat me or no matter what happens. So that was just one of my desires, and that goes with anything. If you need money for something, you lose yourself in him. It says that, you know, when we focus on him, then all of our needs are met according to his glory and riches in Christ Jesus. So that goes for really anything that we need. So I just want to quickly mention persecution. Just a couple points about that. The rest of this chapter, 18 through 25, talks about persecution. This is where Jesus said, "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first." And a specific scripture that keeps coming out to me . If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin now. However, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. So, and Jesus is explaining, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. And he says in verse 21, they will treat you this way because of my name. So two things. So we're going to get persecuted because we follow Jesus, first of all. And secondly, when we do right things in following Jesus, there's going to be some persecution that comes. But he is saying that even with the Pharisees and what everybody did to him, he's saying the Father, they are guilty of sin and the Father is dealing with them. I want to give this illustration, but I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to say anything bad about anyone. But I worked in this place. It wasn't here and it wasn't the place I work now. But I worked in an environment and where my boss told me a bunch of things that were going to happen, a bunch of promises for promotions and things like that. And he kept saying this, and then it became apparent not only that he wasn't going to do it, but he also brought someone in to get what he had promised me. And of course, I prayed and prayed. I prayed for him. I prayed for his heart. I prayed that the Lord would give me guidance on what to do. And I had known that he had made these promises to other people as well and did not go through with it. So the justice side of me had a hard time too. So I just kept praying, asking the Lord. And the Lord kept showing me Matthew 18, where it says that if someone sins against you, you need to confront them. And then if they don't listen to you, you humbly and prayerfully confront them with love. And then I need to clarify, because the Lord has clarified that to me many times. So, and then if they don't listen, then you prayerfully bring in someone else, you explain the situation, and that's how it's supposed to work, so that the person listens, hopefully. So I did that. I confronted the person with respect and humility. And he denied things, and then I brought in someone else, and then that second person ended up talking to him behind my back, and it didn't go well for me. There was a lot of just things that should not have happened. And then we ended up talking to a third person who was their boss, and it just ended up being, according to what I could see and according to the world standards, it looked really bad for me. I ended up, I didn't want to leave the job, and I still, even after that, didn't want to leave. I was still okay with just forgiving them and moving on. I had prayed. I had kept abiding in the Lord, the most important thing. I kept staying with him the whole time, just abiding in him. So I just had peace. Whatever they were doing was between him and them. It wasn't my business anymore. I just did what I was called to do, and that's it. So, but they ended up wanting me to leave and found somebody else, and that was okay, and I moved forward. So I kept praying the Lord would keep putting the first person on my heart, my boss initially. And so I kept praying for him. And I was like, well, Lord, I don't want him to do this to other people and everything. And the Holy Spirit started showing me that he was going to be leaving soon. that he wouldn't be there soon. So I was like, okay, well, and I just kept praying to, and encouraged me to keep praying for him. So I kept praying for him. And within a few weeks after the Holy Spirit showed me that, he himself called me up and said, I just wanted to let you know I'm leaving. It was really nice working with you. He didn't apologize or anything, but that happened. And that showed me that the Lord was dealing with him and working in him. And also that second person that I brought in that didn't deal with it in the way that the Bible lays out, he ended up texting me like a year later saying that a lot of the same things were happening to him and that he now saw what I was talking about. And so what I did was just pray for him then and, you know, say, I'm sorry this is happening to you. There was nothing in me that felt happy that that was happening to him. And I was like, wow, this abiding in God thing really changes who I am, because, you know, my flesh normally in the past might have been happy and I just wasn't. It just made me sad. Because wrong is wrong. And that's how the Lord feels when he sees any wrongs happening. That's why that saying, two wrongs don't make a right, is brilliant. And the Bible also says that a gentle word can turn away wrath. So, and when we love and when we pray and we love those who persecute us, and as we're abiding in him and getting that ability and that power to do that, that's when we can trust that he's taking care of it, and that's when we have peace about it. So a whole situation that in the past I would have freaked out about and had a really hard time with. And I'm not saying I didn't struggle. I didn't have my peace the whole time. I definitely had some struggles. But in abiding in him, I had the strength to do what God called me to do. And then I could see how God worked it out. So I just want to encourage you, anytime you're persecuted, and those were all Christians that happened with. And persecution can come in any form, in any way. But when you're continuing to do the right thing, expect persecution and keep abiding in him and keep going to him and trusting him. So, and also the more we abide in him, naturally we bear fruit. This, as we read in John 15, it talks about how as we stay close to him, we continue to bear fruit in who we are. So I'm going to talk about another vision I got when I was on a missions trip in Guatemala. So if you want to close your eyes and try to picture this and see if the Lord shows you anything different or anything more specific, but I saw a big giant vine, a huge vine with lots of beautiful fruit on it, all different kinds of colors, colors we can't even imagine, just vibrant, glowing, just beautiful, this vine. Just, I can't even count how many fruits were on it. But then I saw a lot of dead fruit that was on the ground all laying around. So all this brilliant, beautiful, vibrant fruit was attached to the vine, and then there was this dead fruit on the ground, just black, withered, and dead. And I saw the vine starting to move, and it started to move around to all the dead fruit. And as the live, vibrant fruit touched it or got near it, it would start to attach itself to the vine, and then it started turning into life, turning into this bright, beautiful fruit. So and the vine kept moving around, picking up all of these fruits that were dead, and they started attaching to the vine and becoming more alive, more vibrant, more colorful, more beautiful. And so you can open your eyes if you'd like. So what the Lord showed me is he said that this fruit that is attached to the vine are his children, are us. All of us are the vibrant, beautiful fruit that are glowing and delicious and attractive to people. That's his fruit. And as we stay attached to him, he moves in us and with us to plant seeds and to speak life and to be life for all the other fruits that don't know him yet and that are not attached to him yet. And as we do that, as we love, as we serve, and as we stay close to him, he moves through us to bring more and more children to him, and so that they can attach to the vine and they can know him like we do, and they can have life and prosperity and abundance and excellent health. All of the fruit that were attached to this vine were completely healthy. And all of the fruit had everything that it needed. Was attached to the vine. It knew that was its lifeline. We know who our lifeline is. We know that it's through the Father and abiding in him that we not only get our identity, we get filled with love and joy, we get protection, we get blessed. We also get pruned and purified. clean, made whole, purified. That is how we can help others. And the more we abide in him and know him, the more you want to do for him, the more you want to serve him, the closer we get to him, the more we know his heart and his infinite, unbelievable love for us, the more we want to give back. We not only want to bless him, but we want to bless others. I wanted to pray for those people that were being persecuted. I want to love and pray for people who are yelling at me because I know that they're hurt. So naturally, we bear more fruit in those senses too. And James tells us that that without works, faith is dead. So if we're not showing works, if we're not serving the Lord in some way, then our faith is not where it should be. And we get more faith by, of course, the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by revelation of the word. So as we're spending time with him, we're growing. That's what specifically is going on. We're being filled in his love and joy. And in that, in knowing more about him and knowing more about us, we're being filled with more faith. Okay, so how do we abide in him? So obviously the first things I mentioned is his word. The Bible is his truth. Jesus is the word. We know that the whole word has everything in some way explaining who Jesus is. And John 1 tells us that Jesus is actually the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So when you read the word, I want to encourage you. First of all, it's important to read it every day because, as I mentioned, this world is full of lies and the enemy is the father of lies and he likes to lie to us. So we need to be filled up on truth, and truth is the word. Everything in the Bible is truth. But I want you not just to read the word, I want you to expect an encounter with God. Expect an encounter with the Most High God because he's meeting you in that place. So you're not just going to read a book. You're going to read the word, and it's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It will cut away everything that is not, that should not be a part of who you are, and it will continue to fill you with more of him. So as you are encountering with him through reading the word, expect him to speak to you, because I hear scriptures differently than you hear scriptures. Because he speaks to me differently than he speaks to you. He speaks to all of us differently through our gifts, through our personality traits in every way. So expect an encounter with him, even pray for one, depending on where your level of faith is and your level of expectations. So abiding in him, we're reading the word and we're expecting him to speak to us personally for our day. Countless times. There's so many times he would show me things, and then the next morning I would read the Bible and it's the exact same scripture of what he was just saying. And that happens. That's how it's supposed to be with all of us on a regular basis, but we have to go in expecting that. So we expected that. And we can ask him where to read, where to go, and he'll show us specific things. I just want to keep encouraging you that nothing is coincidence. He's in control of so much more than we think. So much more. There is no coincidences. He loves you, and he's doing everything he can to show you that love in every moment. Everything that you go through, this world is full of sin. There's sin in this world. There's darkness in this world because of what sin brought in. But everything you go through, he is consistently showing you how much he loves you, how much he wants to feed you with more of his life and more of who he is. I also want to encourage you for daily worship. Spending time with him, listen to some worship songs or play worship songs or sing or however you want to worship, or like I like to worship, dance sometimes, just in whatever way, try to find some time to worship every day, even if it's just 10 minutes in the middle of your day. There's been so many days that I'm at work and I'm just crazy busy trying to get everything done. I'm getting overwhelmed and I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me to spend some time in worship. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to do this one more thing and then I'll get there. And so I keep doing this one more thing and then I end up the whole day and I'm like, why am I so stressed and why do I feel so empty and horrible? And then lovingly and gently, the Holy Spirit reminds me of all those promptings that I could have just taken 10 minutes to worship and I would have been reminded of who He is, how much He's in control of. And that, so I just want to encourage you, don't think you're too busy. Take 5-10 minutes just to spend time with Him, soaking in who He is and worshiping. And also daily spend time in the secret place, just alone with Him, and when you're really just listening, like your main thing is listening, not even necessarily telling Him how amazing He is, but just listening to what He wants to tell you and what He wants to say. The Bible says that He will show us great and unsearchable things. So when we read the Bible and we look up things about Him in the Bible, that's searchable, right? Because we can search for it and we can find it. So the Bible is telling us that He will show us great and unsearchable things. He will show us things that we can only learn from Him. He will deposit things in our hearts and in our minds that we can only get by spending time with Him. So I want to encourage you to spend that time being quiet and listening and ask Him what He wants to share with you, what He wants to tell you. I do this, a ministry called Sozo Ministry. Sozo is the Greek term for saved, healed, and delivered. It's in the Bible, I believe, over 100 times where it was translated into one of the three, but it really means all three. For example, when Peter says, by His stripes you were saved, that's really sozoed, and by His stripes you were saved, healed, and delivered. It's up to us to receive all of that. So in this ministry, one person, an individual, I want to encourage all of you, if any of this sounds interesting to you, please take part in getting a sozo ministry, and I can tell you how to do that in detail. But so one person comes to be ministered to, and two or three people are leading them in prayers, and so they're speaking to God, and they're asking God what He wants to speak to them, and He shows them things. He doesn't speak through us, the ministers. We just lead them in prayers. He speaks to each individual, and I have seen people of all kinds. I have seen people walk in and say, I've never heard anything from the Lord. They don't leave that way. Ever. Nobody has ever come in and left without hearing something profound from the Lord. He uses this time, and I think a lot of it's not anything we're doing as the Sozo ministers so much. I think it's that He uses that opportunity that this person is coming in completely surrendered, saying, okay, Lord, I want to abide in You. Tell me what You want to tell me. And He does. And what He consistently shows people, I see, because they'll tell us what He's saying to them and we write it down for them so they can take that home. And consistently, what people need to hear, I know this because it's what He's telling them, what He consistently tells everybody is how much He loves you intensely enough to watch His Son die for you. That's how much He loves you. And that He's still taking care of you. That's the number one way the enemy tries to convince us. Two things. Number one, I believe, is the enemy says he's not taking care of you anymore. He's not protecting you because bad things are happening around you or to you, or He doesn't love you. And that's how the enemy tries to attack all of us. And I'm telling you, I see that over and over and over in every single sozo. People come in complete crisis. Some people ready to die. Some people ready to divorce. Some people, whatever their crisis is. And they leave feeling free. This is all from their expressions. They express feeling free, feeling new, feeling full of joy. People laugh. People cry. It's amazing. And it's all because of that. It's a time and space that the Father is just telling them, I do love you. I don't care what you did, what you do. I still love you. And I'm still protecting you, and I'm still taking care of you. Always. No matter what it looks like with your eyes, He is always taking care of you. He always has a plan of redemption. He showed me one time, this is the final story that I'll share, but He showed me one time I was in a coffee shop. I was looking at people and I could discern a lot of things going on with all the different people. There was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of attacks from the enemy and things going on. And I started getting so sad, and I was talking to the Lord, and I'm like, how can you deal with this? How can you handle this? And I just started crying, looking at all of this, because he was opening my eyes to show me more about what he sees. And then he said, first of all, he said, well, invite me here. I invited him. I literally like felt him and saw him there with me. So we invite Jesus into our situation, first of all. Invite him into your heart if you haven't already. And then he said, then I closed my eyes. He said, okay, how do you want to pray? He said, invite me in. And then he said, look again. I looked again, and everybody's countenance was a little brighter, was different and brighter. And he showed me that just by inviting him, just by being his light for him and with him, people's countenance changes around you. And then he said, okay, how do you want to pray for each person? So I looked at what I was discerning specifically. I said, well, that person, I want to pray that their finances get worked out. That person, I want to pray that they find the love that they need from the Father. And just, we were praying for different things, and I could see them all changing. And that literally, in the natural, literally, they were like smiling. They were like sitting up. They were having more fun with their friends. Like, you could visibly see changes. They went from this to like this as I was praying. And this again was not coincidence. He's teaching me something about his presence, abiding with him and in him, the power of prayer and how it works. But also the most important lesson I got from that is that he said, Karen, this is how I can handle all of this. This is how I can handle the hurt and the pain, because I know my redemption. And I know that I have a redemptive plan for each person. Every single hurt he already knows is going to happen to you. And he already has a way to redeem that hurt to the extent that you're almost even happy it happened to you. Because you're like, yeah, that was pretty horrible. For example, my mom. It's horrible that she went to heaven as early as she did. I miss her. And for me, for the rest of us who knew her, you know, it's horrible. But the redemption of what he did with all of that, with me and in me and bringing me closer to him, and all the love and the redemption that he did for other people, like, he uses every bit of pain and just consumes it with redemptive love and joy and everything good. So remember that when you're going through struggles of any kind, whether you brought the struggles on yourself or it just happened to you, either way is all the same. He has a redemptive plan. So I just want to encourage you, spend time with him, learn more about him, more about you, gain more of his protection, more of his love and joy in your life. Stay attached to his vine, to him, to the vine, so you can continue to have that life and exude that life. So for this last part, Joe and Sig are going to come up and sing again. And while they're singing, we're going to do something different. You're going to remain sitting. You're going to close your eyes again. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this time to abide in him. They're going to go through the song once slowly, where you're just going to focus on the Lord. And each one of you, I want to encourage you, please ask him what he wants to show you, what he wants to heal in you, what he wants to show you, what he wants to tell you about how he feels about you. And I believe that he will show each one of you something unique, different, something you need to hear. Trust whatever it is. If you see something, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense, write it down. It'll make sense later if it doesn't make sense now, okay? He's going to use this time to be with you. I want to encourage you, write down anything he says and anything he shows you. So I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're going to do in everybody, Lord. I thank you for speaking to their minds and their hearts, giving them new revelation about how much you love them and who they are specifically in you, Lord. I thank you for showing them visions, God. I thank you for speaking to them audibly and in senses, Lord, giving them new truth, telling them more about who they are, God. And I thank you for encouraging them, continuing to draw them closer to you and into you, Father. I thank you for the healing, the prosperity, everything that you're doing in their life, Lord. Thank you that you speak to them now and that you will show them now. I thank you, your Holy Spirit is now moving through each person. In Jesus' name, amen.